B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Vov. We're going to start at the Mishnah, approximately a quarter of the way down from the Omid. Says the Mishnah, Shoyver Odom Esachovis Lechol Himeno Groigrois Ubilvad Shelo Yiskavin Lasois Kli. In the next sugya, we're going to learn a number of rules. Number one, anything that you're doing to break mekalkel, destruction, is not a melacha on Shabbos. However, when you're fixing, perfecting, when you're creating, finishing, those are all things which are also on Shabbos. So when you have a barrel and the contents are locked inside because the barrel has been blocked up with a stopper, with a plug, or for whatever other reason, and you want to make an entrance hole, you want to get into the contents of the barrel, if you break the barrel, if you smash a hole into the side of it, then that's called mekalkel. However, if you have an intention to beautify, to perfect, to add to the barrel, for example, if you make a neat round hole in the barrel in order to make a new opening, adding a new opening actually fixes the barrel, actually enhances the barrel, and that will be a problem of being mesakin or fixing on Shabbos. So over here, if a person has a barrel full of dried figs, he wants to get into them, he can break, that's the term of the Mishnah, shover, he can break into the barrel, because breaking is not a melacha, but uvilvad shelo yiskavin la'asis kli. You have to make sure that you're not trying to enhance the barrel by making a very nice, round, symmetrical opening. That's one halacha. Another halacha, ve'ein noikvin magufo shel chovis. If you have a barrel, the barrel has a plug at the top of it, it's stopped up, and now you want to make a hole into it, you're not allowed to break a hole, you're not allowed to make a hole into the stopper, because that's creating a new opening. Making a new opening will be asur on Shabbos. You're not breaking the barrel, you're making a new opening. And that's a problem, divir Rebbe Yehuda. According to Rebbe Yehuda, v'chachomim matirin, the chachomim say one is allowed to make an opening into the plug, into the stopper of the barrel. V'lo yikaveno mitzido, however, even according to the chachomim, one's not allowed to make a hole into the sides. And we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what the argument here is, what the cases are. Next halacha in the Mishnah, v'imhoiso nukuvo, if you have a barrel that has a hole in it, and you want to block up the hole, lo yitein oleo shava, you're not allowed to put wax in or onto the hole, mipnei shu memareach, because you're smoothing the wax, and smoothing is a tolda of memachik, which is smoothing hides, which is one of the lamates melochis. Continues the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa bo lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ba'arov. We've seen this before. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived in a place called Arov for a number of years, and the story came to him when he was in that place where somebody blocked up a hole with wax. V'omar, and he said, Choisheshani loy michatos, I'm afraid that he's going to be chayav chatos. He did one of the lamates melochas. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Oishia. Now the Gemara, besides for discussing how to break into the barrel, whether you're fixing the barrel or breaking the barrel, there's another issue. What tool are you using to make a hole and to get into the barrel? A typical, if you would use a sword or a big knife, that which the primary use of this sword is not to break your way into a barrel, are you allowed to pick up and use such a sword, such a knife, to make a hole in the barrel? And this is a machleik, as we've seen previously. There's the opinion of Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya says you're only ever allowed to move anything, any utensil on Shabbos, only with the intentions of using it for something that its primary use is for. Even a talis, a cloak, you're only allowed to use it, even though it shouldn't be mukta. Reb Nechemya says you're only allowed to move it in order to use it to wear, as one would a cloak, a spoon. You're only allowed to move a spoon in order to use it as a spoon, not to use it for anything else. That's the halacha of Reb Nechemya. The Chachamim argue, they say, anything that's not muktzah, you can use for anything that's muta. Even if it is muktzah, then if it's l'tzayrach gufa yimakoymoy, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to move it. So what's going on here? So Reb Oshia said, Leishanu Ela Drusos. The Braisa is, the Mishnah is talking about the grey grace, and these grey grace, these figs, these dried figs, are pressed together. In order to actually, once you get to the figs, to be able to eat them, you have to cut pieces away from them because they've been pressed into a big cake. And therefore, you're allowed to, since you're going to be using the knife to cut the figs, you have the knife in your hand anyway. For the figs, you're then allowed to use that knife to break the barrel open. Aval mefurados. If the figs are all separated and you don't need the knife to actually cut the figs, then you're not allowed to use this knife to break into the barrel. Asks the Gemara, umfurados loya, you're not allowed to use a knife to break into a barrel even if you don't need to have the, if you don't need to use the knife to cut the cake of the figs. Meisvir b'shem ben Gamliel oimir, Mevi adam es achovis shel yayin, the person is allowed to bring a barrel of wine. Umatiz reisha besayif, and you can sever the top, the head of the barrel, with a sword. And there's no problem of making a kli. You're destroying the barrel. You're breaking a hole into it. You're not making a nice new opening. And you're allowed to use a sword for that. Umanicho lifnei oirchin b'shabbos, you can put it in front of the guests on Shabbos. Ve'eino choshesh, and there's no issue of meleches Shabbos. So you see from there, even though you don't need to cut the wine is not cuttable, you don't need to use this sword for anything other than breaking into the barrel, and you see you're allowed to do it, says Reb Shimon Gamliel. So why does Reb Oshia say in our Mishnah that you're only allowed to use this sword or this knife in the event that you also need it to cut the figs? Says the Gemara, Hahi Rabbonon. Masnisin Reb Nechemyah. We know it's a machlokes, the Rabbonon and Reb Nechemyah. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is following the Chachomim who say that you're allowed to use the sword since the sword is not really mukta. And even if it were mukta, you're allowed to use it to do something mutter on Shabbos, like breaking into the barrel. And our Mishnah is following Reb Nechemyah that says you're not allowed to move anything on Shabbos unless you're using it for its primary use. Asks the Gemara, "My duchka de Reb Oshia loikme masnisin kreb nechemya ubedrusois." What's pushing you, Reb Oshia, to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Reb Nechemya, and then you have to say that we need to use the knife for the figs, and say that it's talking about a hard-pressed cake of figs? Loikme b'mfurados v'rabbonon. Say the Mishnah is following the Rabbonon, and then it can be talking about even figs that are separated, that are loose. Omar Rava. Masnisin koshisa. There's something that was bothering Reb Oshia in the Mishnah. My area, the Tony Grey Grace. Why did the Mishnah single out Grey Grace, which are these dried figs? Why didn't you just say, listen, Paris, say you have a barrel of fruits, of produce, and you want to break into it, you can break into it. Why have you singled out the Grey Grace? It seems the Mishnah is coming to tell us that you're only allowed to break into the barrel because the contents in the barrel need to use that knife, and that's the gregris, that's the dried figs. So the Mishnah lends itself to being the opinion of Reb Nechemya, and that's why Reb Oshia explained it that way. And now we're going to find another set of brises that seem to be arguing with each other, and again the Gemara is going to say that if one is the Rabbonon and one is Reb Nechemya, then we'll understand. Tanu Yechodim, one brisa we learned, Choislois shel grey grace v'shel tmorim. If you had a basket made of leaves, and typically one would seal the mouth of these baskets with some cover that would be tied with a rope, and these baskets contained grey grace, the dried figs or dates, and now you want to open them on Shabbos, you want to get to the figs or the dates on Shabbos. So the braisa says, matir, you're allowed to untie using your hands. You can untie the knot. Obviously, we're talking about a type of knot that there's no issue of matir. It's obviously a very temporary type of knot. Umafkia, you can unravel the rope using a utensil, using some type of a tool. V'choteich, and you can cut the rope also using some type of a tool. V'tanya idach. In another braisa it says, matir, you can untie it using your hand. Avaloi mafki, avaloi choytuch, you're not allowed to use a tool to unravel or to cut the rope, to cut the tie. So it seems to be contradicting each other. Says the Gemara, Leikashia, Horabonon, Horab Nechemia. According to the Rabbonon, you're allowed to use a utensil, even though the knife is not typically used to unravel a rope or to cut this rope, but you're allowed to use it since it's mutter to do it. I'm allowed to cut this rope in order to get to the contents of the basket. However, according to Reb Nechemia, he says you're only ever allowed to use the tools for what they were originally designated for, and it's not to use it to cut this rope. And therefore, according to Reb Nechemia, that's the second brisa, you're not allowed to use these tools, and the only options you have available is to, with your bare hands, to untie the knot. Where's this Reb Nechemia and Rabbanon? D'tanya, Reb Nechemia Oimer, afilu tarvat, even a spoon, afilu talis, and even a cloak, afilu sakin, or a knife. And these are things that are not typically considered muktzah. Ein nitlin elo l'tzerich tashmishon, you're only allowed to move them and use them for their primary use, not for anything else. This is the famous opinion of Reb Nechemia. Continues the Gemara. Bo minei mirav sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes, Mahu lemivraz chavito beburtia. Is one allowed to thrust into a cask, into a barrel, with a spear, b'shabata on Shabbos? Are you allowed to make a hole, to bore a hole into a cask on Shabbos? What's the question? Lepischa komechaven, is he intending to make a nice new opening into the barrel, and then he's improving, enhancing the barrel, and that will be osir because of mesakin, v'osir. Or do we say no? La'ayin yofik omechaven. He doesn't want the entrance hole. All he wants is a nice big hole to let the wine out. He's not trying to enhance the barrel. He may even be ruining the barrel. Just let me have a nice big opening so that the contents can come out comfortably. And v'shorin, that would be mutter, because you're not fixing anything. Omerle. Rav Sheshes explained, Lepischa komechaven v'osir. We take it for granted that he wants to make a new opening to enhance the barrel, because if all he wanted to do was to get to the contents, he would have unplugged it, he would have pulled off the plug at the top, the stopper, and he would have got to the contents. Why is he boring a hole into the side of the barrel? Obviously, he wants to create a nice new opening to enhance the barrel with another way of another entrance, another exit. And therefore, it's osa. Meisvei, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oime, we already saw this. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, Mevi odom chovis shel yayin, a person's allowed to bring a barrel of wine, umatiz roisha b'sayif, and he can sever the top of the barrel with a sword. So you see from there that it's muta. So why should it be any different if you're thrusting a sword into the side of a barrel to make a hole? Says the Gemara, it's a very fundamental difference. Over there, we take it for granted he's not trying to make a new opening, because where's he severing the barrel at the top? He's just cutting off the whole top of the barrel. If all you want to do is to open it up and to get the contents of it, then you could have just unplugged it. Why are you cutting away the top of the barrel beyond where the plug is, below the plug? Because you want to have an even wider opening. But you're not trying to enhance the barrel in any way. Hocha, but in the case of Rav Sheshes, where you made a hole with a sword into the side of the barrel, im isa de la'ayin yofika mochaven, if all you want is to have easy access to the contents, liftuche miftach, why don't you just remove the plug, remove the stopper, and you'll be able to get into the contents? From the fact that you're boring a hole into the side, it seems that you want to enhance the barrel by adding another faucet, another tap, another opening, and therefore it's osur on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, we saw a machlokes Reb Yehuda and the Chachomim. Are you allowed to perforate? Are you allowed to make a hole into the stopper, the magupo, the plug at the top of the barrel? Are you allowed to make a hole into it? Reb Yehuda says that you're not allowed to. The Chachomim says you are allowed to. And then the Mishnah adds in three words, v'lo yikaveno mitzido. But you're not allowed to make a hole on the side. So, just reading it, it would lend itself to be explained as follows, that Rav Yehuda says it's osa altogether, the Chachomim say it's muta to do it not on the side, And v'lo yikavenu mitzido means that the Chachomim say, even though it's mutter to make the hole, but not if it's on the side. And then it would be read as if the lo yikavenu mitzido is a disclaimer or limitation to the matirin of the Chachomim. But that's not going to be so clear that that's how to read the Mishnah. Let's see the Gemara inside. Omar Rav Huna, it's going to be Machloikas of Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Huna says, Machloikas lemalo. As we said, the Machloikas is, are you allowed to make a hole at the top of the stopper? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to, because you're making a new hole. Making a new hole is always a problem. The Chachomim say, you're allowed to, because it's not a normal way to make an opening in a barrel. Normally, you want to make an opening, you lift up, you remove the plug. To make a hole in the plug is not a usual way of doing it, and therefore the Chachomim say you're allowed to do it. Aval min atzad, but making a hole on the side of the plug, of this magupa, divrei hakel asur, then even according to the Chachomim, it's going to be asur. V'hainu diktoni, and that's what the Mishnah means, lo yikavenu mitzido. That the Chachomim who allow you to make a hole at the top, they do not allow you to make a hole on the side. And the reason that it should be also to do it on the side is because at the top, it's very uncommon to make a hole at the top. You want to open up the top, open the plug. However, on the side, sometimes people would bore a hole into the side of this magupa, because that way you have a nice opening, you can pour out the contents, but you're not risking the dust and other debris falling into the barrel. If you just open the top, then the elements, the insects, the dust can fall into the barrel. So since it's a more common way of making an opening is from the side, therefore you would be enhancing the barrel, and that's Osar on Shabbos. That's how we understand Rav Huna. Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Chisda explains the Mishnah very, very differently. He says, Machleikas min hatzad. The Machleikas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim is making a hole on the side. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to make the hole on the side. According to the Chachomim, you are allowed to make a hole even on the side. Avar al gabo, but regarding making a hole at the top, divrei hakel mutar. Everybody, even the Chachomim, say that it's unusual to make a hole at the top, and therefore you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. V'hodik toni lo yikavenu mitzida. What does it mean when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to make a hole from the side? We just saw now that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to make a hole on the side, and according to Chachomim, you're allowed to make a hole on the side. We just said machloikas min hatzad. What's the Mishnah suddenly adding on lo yikavenu mitzida? That's talking about a totally new case. We're not talking about the side of the magupa, the side of the stopper. It's talking about hosom begupa, begufa de chovis. We're talking about the side of the barrel. Are you allowed to make a hole into the side of the barrel? And there the Mishnah says that everybody agrees you're not allowed to make a hole into the side of the barrel, because making a hole in the side of the barrel is making a new opening. Making a nice new opening is also on Shabbos. You're enhancing the barrel. And it's a typical and a common way of making an opening, and it's also on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Ein Noikvin Nekev Chodosh B'Shabbos. One is not allowed to make a new opening, a new hole into a utensil on Shabbos. He's being mesaken it, he's enhancing the kli, he's fixing the kli, and it's also on Shabbos. Either because of Makeh B'Patish or because of Boineh, however the Mepharshim explain it, you're not allowed to make a new opening into a kli on Shabbos. Ve'im bo lehoisif. However, if you already have an opening and all you want to do is enlarge the opening a little bit, moisif, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Ve'yesh oimrim, and others hold, ein moisifin, you're not even allowed to enlarge a hole on Shabbos. The Shovin, and they both agree, shenoikvin nekev yoshon lekatchila. If you already had a hole, and you just blocked it up a little bit, but the hole was still there, you just filled it, that you're allowed to remove the filling, and that's not called that you created a new hole. The hole was already there, all you did was removed the block of the hole, and that's mutter on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, V'tanakama, Maishno minekev chodosh deloy. The Tanakama, Tonu Rabbonon, we started the Braisa, Ein noikvin nekev chodosh b'Shabbos. Why not? Deloy, why is that also? De komasaki in pischa, because you are fixing an entrance, an opening. Oisufa nami komasaki in pischa, why is it different to enlarging a hole that you're also fixing the the utensil. The utensil had a small hole. Now you're enlarging the hole. You're fixing it. You're enhancing it. So you now have a new stage of fixing a kli. It should be asur on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba. Rabba says as follows. Let's remember, we're talking here about an opening in the side of a barrel, or in the side of a kli. These openings are used to take the contents of the barrel out. They are not used to put content into the barrel. When you fill up a barrel, you fill it up from the top, from the regular large opening, not from a little hole. So Rabbi says, Dvar Torah, Mina Torah, biblically speaking, Kol Pesach She'enei Osui, Lehachnis Ulahitzi, if the opening is not there, is not intended to allow things in and out, Einei Pesach, is not considered a Pesach. So making any of these holes Min HaTorah are not called openings, because these openings are one way. It's all Midrabonon. V'Rabonon Hu DeGozel, the Rabonon said, you're not allowed to make a hole into these Kalim, even though these holes, these openings, are only allowing content out, not to allow things in. Mishum lul shel tarnagolim, because they made a gezeira decree, because you might make a hole. If you make a hole in some kalim, you may end up making a hole in a chicken coop. And in the case of the chicken coop, there, it's an issur d'oraisa, because there the Pesach is to allow the odor, the bad smells out, and the fresh air in. Da'ovid li'iyule avira ul'afuki havla, the fresh air should come in, and that the bad air should leave. Right. V'imbo lohoisif, moisif, asufei vadai belul shol tarnagoylim le'osu la'asufei. Regarding making a hole, we understand. Don't make a hole in a barrel, even though it's only going to allow the contents out, because making a hole is also, if you make a hole in a lul shel tarnagolim, it's an issur d'oraisa. However, enlarging a hole is something nobody would do in a lul shel tarnagolim. So when you have a hole, which to start with is only midrabonon, because it's not allowing anything in, it's only allowing things out. And the only reason that it's also to do it is because of a gzera of lul shel tarnagolim. Lul shel tarnagolim, nobody ever enlarges the hole, as we'll see in a moment. Therefore, to enlarge such a hole, an opening, which l'katchila is only there to allow things out, not in, the Rabbanon did not make a gzera. V'imbo lohoisif moisif. Why? Asufei vadei lul shel tarnagolim le'osu la'asufei. Nobody would ever enlarge the hole of a chicken coop. Mishum richasha. Because creeping animals, typically rats, weasels, would find their way into these holes and would kill all the chickens. And therefore, nobody would enlarge those holes in a chicken coop. V'yesh oimrim ein masifin. We saw in the Braisa, there's one opinion that says that you're not allowed to enlarge the opening of any utensil. Why not? Says the Gemara, Zimnin delei tokni miikora v'osi la'arvuche bei. Even in a lul shel tarnagolim, in a chicken coop, there is a scenario where maybe when you originally made the first hole, you didn't make it big enough. It's not big enough to allow the fresh air in and the bad air out. And therefore you're going to enhance it, you're going to enlarge it. And there it's an issur d'oraisa. And since it could happen, even with a chicken coop, that you could you'll enlarge the hole a little bit, therefore, according to the Esh Oimrim, we made a decree that in any utensil, you're not allowed to enlarge the opening. Dorash of Nachman, Mishum Rabbi Yechonon, Alocha ki Esh Oimrim, the Alocha is like the Esh Oimrim, you're not allowed to make a new opening, and you're not even allowed to enlarge an existing opening in any utensil on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'shovin shenoikvin nekev yoshon lekatchila. We saw in that braisa, at the end of Amud Aleph, that both opinions agree that if you had a hole and it was just blocked up, that you're allowed to remove the block and reopen the hole. Says the Gemara, Omer of Yudam HaShmuel, Lo yishonu ela b'mokim ha'osui l'shamir. That's only if the hole initially was in a place that when you blocked it up, the reason you blocked it up was just in order to preserve the odor inside the barrel. Avol l'chazek, but if the hole was in a place, was blocked up in a place where you needed a very strong blocking, where it was to strengthen the barrel, in that case, it's also because there the closing, the seal, becomes an integral part of the barrel. It becomes a very, very solid and tight seal. And to reopen that type of seal is considered like opening a new opening in the barrel, and that's osa. However, if you only blocked it up just to preserve the air inside the barrel, then you typically would not have made such a heavy and tight sealing, and therefore to remove that seal, that block, you're allowed to on Shabbos. Heicha domi l'shamir, heicha domi l'chazek. How would we know? What tells us if the hole was blocked just in order to keep the odor in, or whether it was blocked in order to strengthen the barrel? Omer of Chizda, l'mayla min ayayin zeu l'shamir. If the hole originally was above the level of the wine, then we can assume that there you just blocked it up in order to keep the air inside the barrel. Lemato min ayayin, but if it's below the level of the wine, which means the pressure of the wine is on the sides of the barrel, then zeu lechazek, we can assume that there you made a very tight seal so that the wine should not leak out, and therefore below the level of the wine, you're not allowed to reopen that hole on Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rav Chisda. Rava Omar, Rava argues and says no. Lemato min ayayin nami zeu l'shamir. Even below where the wine is, it's very possible and probable that when you sealed it, since you haven't got the pressure of all the wine in one area, therefore you probably just sealed it very mildly, just in order that it shouldn't leak out, but it wasn't a very solid and tight seal, and therefore you're allowed to remove it on Shabbos. Ve'heicha domi l'chazek, what's called a very tight seal to the extent that reopening it is considered making a new hole, k'goin shenikva lemato min hashmorim. When you blocked up the hole, which is underneath, right below all the wine, parallel to where the bits are, the shmorim, where the whole pressure of all the wine is on top of that area, then if you don't make a very, very heavy and good seal, then it will break open, and therefore a seal that's made below all the wine, where the shmorim are, where the bits are, that's called a solid seal, and you're not allowed to reopen that on Shabbos. Omale Abaye l'Rava, Abaye said to Rava, Tanya de Maseilecha, I've got a braisa that seems to be showing us, like you're saying, as follows. Bayis sosum yesh loy arba amis. Porat es petzimov ein loy arba amis. The halacha is that if you have a chotzer, a courtyard, with a number of different homes with entrances or exits to this chotzer, when they divide up the courtyard, every exit is deserving of 4 amis of the courtyard that's going to go to the owner of that home, of that doorway. And after you've given 4 amos to each doorway, all the rest gets split up equally. So what happens if initially the home, this house, had a door there, and the door got sealed up, it got blocked up? So it says here, bayis sosum, if you've sealed up the hole, nonetheless, yesh le arba amos, since there was a doorway there, even though it's blocked up, you're still deserving of those 4 amos. Porat es petzimov, if somebody tore down the whole door frame, the lintels, the door posts, the whole thing was ripped out, then, and so now, for all intents and purposes, the doorway is, there's no remnants of the doorway anymore, then at that point, it's not considered an exit or entrance anymore, and it's not called a Pesach, and he does not get the 4 amos. Another halacha, bayis sosum, there's a halacha that a home with a dead person in, then all the way around the home is not tomei. There's a question, if the 4 amos beyond the doorway, the exit where the mace is going to come out, that might be tomei, but the back walls of the house is not going to be tomei. However, and what happens if you block up the entranceway of the house? Nonetheless, it's still considered an opening, and a home with an opening all the way around the house, not adjacent to the openings, are not tomei. Porat etz petzimov, but if you rip down the whole entranceway, the whole door frame, and everything that resembled the doorway, you rip that down completely, and it's sealed up, Now, for all intents and purposes, this home has no exit or entrance. So now we consider the home as being a grave. And the halacha is that all the way around the grave for Amos is Tomei. Poratzetz Betzimov, if you tore down the doorway, Metame Kol Svivov, then all the way around the home is considered like around the grave and is Tomei. So from these halachas, we see that not every seal is the same as every other seal. There's a sealing, not a sealing, a seal with an S, a seal of an opening where it's still considered somewhat an opening, and then when you've removed the whole door frame, then it's sealed to the extent that it's not considered an opening bichlal anymore, and that is proof to what we saw before. And the Gemara says it's proof to Rava. The Achrenim ask, why is it a proof to Rava? It's not necessary. It could be a proof to Rav Chisda as well. But what we saw before, that with a barrel also, there's a type of seal, a type of closure, which is not really considered as if the opening is totally gone, and therefore you can remove it on Shabbos. And then there's a seal which is even more permanent, which we said was Lechazik. And there, it's as if the opening was never opened, and reopening it is like making a new hole, and that's Osur on Shabbos. And the Achrenim ask why Abaya said it's a Raya to Rava more than to Rav Chisda. Continues the Gemara. And this is an unrelated halacha. Guvsa. If somebody wants to, he has a hole already opened in the barrel, and he wants to put into it a reed, or he wants to make a type of a faucet, a type of a tap, where he's going to put a reed, a hollow reed, into the hole in order to allow the contents to flow out in a particular direction or particular way. Rav Osar, Rav says you're not allowed to make this faucet, this tap. Shmuel says it's muta. So the Gemara explains, Mechateich, to cut the reed, lekatchila, kulel mali pligi de osar. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to cut a reed on Shabbos. It might be one of the lamates melachas, cutting from something that's connected to the ground. Ahaduri, if the tap was already there and it came out, you just want to put it back in, the kulel malo pligi de shori. Everyone agrees it's going to be muta, because you're not doing anything new. There's nothing wrong with putting it back in. Ki pligi, what's the argument? De chaticha veloi mesakno. When it's already been cut, it's not attached to the ground anymore. It's been cut, but it hasn't yet been trimmed. You haven't checked to make sure it's got a perfect fit. Manda osar, Rav who says it's osar, gozrinon dilma osi lemichtach lekatchila. He says that since it hasn't been trimmed, if we're going to allow you to put it in now, you may end up trimming it, you may end up cutting a new tap, and therefore it's osar. And Shmuel says we're not concerned about that, since it's already been cut off the ground, you're allowed to insert it into the barrel on Shabbos. Says the Gemara Ketanoi, this happens to be a machloikas tanoim. Ein choitchin shfeiferes b'yontiv, one is not allowed to cut a tube on yontiv in order to put into a hole in a barrel to serve as a tap, as a faucet. V'ein tzarech leima b'Shabbos, and of course on Shabbos it's also osa. Nofla, if it was already cut and already in the barrel and it fell out, you're allowed to put it back in position on Shabbos, and even more so on Yom Tov, where the halachas are all more lenient than Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshaya was more lenient. We have to know what that means. More lenient than who? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshaya ahai. On what is Rabbi Yeshaya going on? Ilei Maresha. Is he talking about the first halacha, about cutting the tube? And that the Tanakhama say you're not allowed to cut a tube and Rabbi Shaya is makel? How can that be? Ilei Maresha, Hokom Masakin Mone, he's fixing a utensil. He's creating a tube which is going to serve as a faucet. Of course that's Osa. Elo Asefa. It must be he's talking about the second halacha. What was the second halacha? That if it fell out, the Tanakhama say one's allowed to put it back in. Tanakhama nami mishra koshari. The Tanakhama also allow you to put it back in. What does it mean, Rabbi Yeshaya Mekel? Rabbi Yeshaya is more lenient. How can you be more lenient than the Tanakhama, the Chachomim, who also say you can put the faucet back in? Elo dechaticho veloi mesakno ikabinayu. We're talking about where this tube has already been cut before Shabbos or Yontov. It just hasn't been fixed into the barrel yet, and we don't know, is it going to fit perfectly or not? Marasovar gozrinon. Well, marasovar le gozrinon. The Tanakama say that that's osa. Only if it was already in and it fell out, then it's mutter. Otherwise, it's osa. And that's going to be, like we saw before, in the case that Rav says it's osa. Or marasovar le gozrinon. Rabbi Yishaya is meikel and said, as long as this tube has been cut before Shabbos Yom Tov, you're allowed to put it in, and we're not geizer, we're not concerned that you're going to come and do a melacha that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And that is similar to what Shmuel said before, that this guvosa, this tap, Shmuel says you're allowed to put it in. Continues the Gemara, Dorash of Shisha Breid Rav Idi Mishmeid Rav Yechanon, Halacha Rabbi Yishaya, the halacha is like Rabbi Yishaya, that once the faucet has been cut, you're allowed to position it, even though it's never been inserted into the barrel before, you're allowed to do it. We're not concerned you're going to do a melacha on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Vim hoiso nukuva. We saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you had already a hole, you're not, and you want to block it up on Shabbos, lo yitein olea shava, you're not allowed to put wax into the hole, mipnei shum amareach, because it's smoothing, and that's a tolda of memachik, smoothing hides, and is one of the 39 melachos. Says the Gemara, mishcha, what about a very thick type of oil, whose texture is not like wax? You cannot do memachik, you cannot smooth with this type of oil, but its texture is quite similar to wax. So are we going to say that because it cannot be smoothed, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Or do we say no, since its texture is similar to wax, we're going to make a gzeira and say you're not allowed to use it to fill up a hole? Says the Gemara, Rav osar, Shmuel shori. Rav was machmer, Shmuel was mekel. Mand osar, Rav who says it's osar gozrin on mishum shavo. He says you may get confused with a similar texture called wax, where in wax there's an issa deraisa if you do it, of memachik. Manda Shori, Leigas Rinon, Shmuel says we're not concerned, since this oil is not a type of texture that you can do smoothing with, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Omer Lei Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Chona Le Rav Yosef, Beferush Omer Talon Mishmei De Rav Mishcha Shori. You just quoted Rav, the sugya started with Rav saying it's Asa. Rav Shmuel Bar Chono said to Rav Yosef that you told us in the name of Rav that is muta, like we saw in the name of Shmuel, that there's no gezera and you're allowed to use this oil to block up a hole on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omar Tovos Rishba. Tovos, the one who used to spread out nets, that means he was a hunter and his name was Tovos. Omar Shmuel, he said in the name of Shmuel, Hai Torfa Da'asa, a leaf of a hadassim tree, a type of a leaf. Also, what they used to do is that they used to insert this leaf, Tosfos says they used to fold it in a specific way into a hole in the side of a barrel, and that way the liquids that would flow out of the barrel would flow in a certain direction, it would flow out nicely. So he said in the name of Shmuel, also you're not allowed to insert this leaf into the barrel on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, you're not allowed to fold this leaf into position on Shabbos. Maitam, why not? Rav Yemer Medifti Omar Gzeira Mishum Marziv. If you're going to allow him to do that, a person may think, oh, you're allowed to make any type of gutter on Shabbos. So a person is going to make a gutter type utensil on Shabbos, and that's severely osa. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says a different reason. Gzeira Shema Yiktoim. If you're allowed to, we're going to allow you to use these leaves to make a type of a gutter from the barrel, then you may come to pluck these leaves on Shabbos. You're not allowed to pluck these leaves on Shabbos. It's severely osa. My benayu, what's the difference between the reason of Rabbi Yemer Midifti, who says the problem is the gzeir is you may come to create a clear utensil which is a gutter, or Rav Ashi's reason that says you may come to pluck some leaves? What's the halachic ramification between these two reasons? If you have lots of other leaves that are already plucked and available, then according to the first reason, that if you allow him to make this type of gutter exit from the barrel, you may end up making a utensil which has the form and the job of a gutter, that will be osa. However, according to Rabbi Ashi, who says the whole reason is you may pluck some leaves. If you have a whole stock of plucked leaves, there's no risk of cutting any more leaves. It will be mutter. That's one way of understanding this. There's different gersoyas here. It's complicated, but this is a most straightforward way, and it works with Rashi. Continues the Gemara. Another seemingly unrelated halacha. Bei sadya, a felt type of padding that typically was used to lie on as a cushion, as a pillow, as a sheet. It was used to lie on. It was not used regularly as clothing. But as with any material, you can wrap it around yourself and use it as a cloak. So Bei sadya, Rav Osar. Rav says you're not allowed to take it through a Roshus HaRabim as a cloak. If you want to have this material some other place, maybe for bedding or whatever it is, and you're going to say, I'm not allowed to carry in Roshus HaRabim, so I'll wear it, I'll wrap it round me like a cloak. Rav says you're not allowed to do that. Shmuel Shori Barakin. Shmuel says you're allowed to do it. This is Machlekes, and Shmuel says, since you're wrapping it round like a cloth, it's mutter. So the Gemara says, Barakin, if this felt is very soft, even Rav would agree that people would often wrap themselves with these soft felt materials, and it's mutter. It doesn't look like it's a burden that you're carrying in a Roshus HaRabim. It looks like you're warming yourself up, you've wrapped yourself up in this felt, and that's allowed. Bekoshin, if it's the very stiff felt that no normal person would wrap themselves around with, everybody agrees that it's asur because it looks like you're carrying in Roshus HaRabim. Ki pligi, what's the machlekes? B'mitzi, if it's an intermediate type of texture, it's not very soft and it's not very stiff. Manda osar, Rav that we assume holds that it's osar. Merze kamasu, he says it looks like a burden, it looks like you're carrying, it's osar. Umanda shori, the one that says it's muta, Shmuel, le merze kamasu, he says no, it doesn't look like you're carrying, it's not the real stiff material, and therefore you're allowed to carry it this way in the Roshus HaRabim. And now the Gemara is saying, V'hod Rav, this that you quoted Rav, and you assume that Rav says that it's osa to go with this intermediate type of felt material in Roshus HaRabim, the truth is, it's not true. Rav also says it's muta. And the reason you thought it was osa is because you misunderstood something that happened. Lav beferish itma, Rav didn't say it was osa, elo michlola itma. You just misunderstood a certain scenario and you thought it's because Rav says it's osa. What happened? The Rav iklilahu asa. Rav came to some place. There was no room for him, no room for the Talmidim in this place. And Nofik Yosef Bekarmelis, he went out to Karmelis. A Karmelis is an open area. Biblically speaking, it does not have the status of a public domain. The Rabbonon says, since it's a very large open area, it has the same halachas as a Roshus HaRabim. You're not allowed to carry there 4 amos. So he was sitting on the floor and learning with his Talmidim, and they felt sorry for him. They wanted him to sit on something soft. So Aisulei Beisadya, they brought him this felt material. They wrapped it around themselves. And obviously the Gemara knows it was this intermediate type of felt material. They wrapped it around themselves, and they came and brought it to Rav in the Karmelis. Lo Yosef, and Rav refused to sit on it. So Mandachaza, somebody who saw what Rav was doing and wasn't prepared to sit on it, Sovar Mishum de Beisadya Asa, he assumed it's because he held that you're not allowed to wrap such material around you, and therefore you were not allowed to bring it here, and therefore I'm not sitting on it. Veloihi, it's not the truth, that's not why Rav didn't sit on it. Rav held you were allowed to bring it. So why didn't he sit on it? The Rav Achruzi Machriz, Rav explicitly said he proclaimed Beisad Yashori, like Shmuel, you're allowed to bring this cloak, this material, and wrap it around you as a cloak, and bring it even in Roshus HaRabim. Umishom Kvoid Rabbi Seinu LoYoshav Olov. The other people that he viewed them as Rebbes, as Tamidei Chachomim, they didn't have the privilege of having somebody bring them these materials to sit on, and he felt it would be disrespectful to them if he's going to be sitting on these comfortable materials and they're going to be sitting on the floor, and therefore Lo Yoshav Olov, he didn't sit on them. Uman Ninhu, who are these Kvoid Rabbi Seinu, who are these Rebbes that Rav respected so much? Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. And these were actually his Talmidim. But they grew so much that he looked at them and treated them like Rebbes. And therefore, since Rav Kahana and Rav Asi did not have these materials to sit on, Rav did not want to sit on it in their place, and therefore he didn't sit on them, but not because it was osa to carry them this way in the Rosh HaRabim or in the Karmelis. Continues the Gemara, says the next Mishnah. Noisnin tavshil l'toich haboyer b'shvil sheyehei shomur. If somebody had a pot with food that was cooked in it, and he didn't want it to get destroyed in the hot heat, he wanted to lower it into a pot so it should stay cool. So one's allowed to do that on Shabbos. And we'll have to see what the chiddush is. What should be the problem? There's no water in this boyer. We'll see in the Gemara. Ve'es hamayim hayofim b'ro'im. You're allowed to submerge, if you have a container full of drinking water, you're allowed to submerge it into water that's not drinking water, to dirty, to bad water, b'shvil she'itzanenu, in order that the good water should stay cool. And even here, we have to understand what's the chiddush. I'm not doing a melacha. What's the problem? Ve'es hatzoinon b'chamo. You're allowed to take cold water and leave it out in the sun, b'shvil she'ichamo, in order for the sun to heat up the water, to warm up the water. Mi she'noshru kelov b'derech b'maim. If while somebody was going along, one of his clothes fell into the water on Shabbos, then mahalich behen ve'ein echoshesh, he's allowed to put that cloth back on himself and wear it, and we don't need to worry about any issa. Higia lechotzer achitzoino. See, what we worried about, that people will suspect that he laundered the clothes on Shabbos, which is nesa deraisa. You're wearing freshly wet clothes, there should be a problem. And the Mefarshim ask why there's no issue of schita, why there's no issue of carrying the water in the Rosh HaRabim or wherever he was going. But those are not the issues that the Gemara is discussing. The Mishnah is not discussing that. However, once he reaches the city to the outermost courtyards, which are safe, they're protected, it wasn't a public throughway, then he should remove these clothes. He should spread them out in the sun so they should dry a little bit. But he shouldn't do it in front of where other people are seeing him, because if people are going to see him do that, they may think that he washed these clothes specially on Shabbos, which is severely osa. He should make sure no one's watching him. He should let the clothes dry, and then he should put them back on and continue on his way. Says the Gemara, Pshita, the first halacha in the Mishnah, you're allowed to lower down a pot of food into a boir so it should stay a little bit cooler. It shouldn't get heated in the hot air of the environment. It's poshut. I haven't done any melacha. What should be the problem? Says the Gemara, Maudatema, I may have thought, Nigzer Mishum Ashvagumois, maybe you're going to smooth out the base of this pit in order that the pot should stand straight. And we know that smoothing out crevices and bumps on Shabbos is asa. I may have thought he's going to do that. Kumash Malon, we're not worried, we're not concerned about that, and it's muta. Continues the Gemara, Vesamayim ayofim b'roim, you're allowed to submerge a container full of cold drinking water into some bad water in order to keep it cool. Pshita, I haven't done a melacha, what should be the problem? Says the Gemara, Sefer Estrichalei. We only mentioned this halacha because we're running into the next halacha, that cold water, that means you're allowed to put water into colder water to cool it down, and the next halacha is you're allowed to take cool water and put it in the sun to let it warm up. And there it's already a chiddush. Sefer Estrichalei. The chiddush is the sefer, the next case, Vesatzoinon Bechama, that you're allowed to put cold water in the sun in order for it to warm up. Says the Gemara on Ami Pshita, what's the problem? I haven't done a melacha. Why is it not straightforward? It's self-understood. Says the Gemara, no. Maudatema, I may have thought that if you're going to do an activity to warm up the water, namely to expose it to the heat of the sun, nigzera dilma osilit muni baroimet, we should make a gzera. This person may end up submerging this vessel, this utensil with cold water, into hot ashes, and that's going to be severely problematic because of Bishul, Kumash Malon. The Chiddush is we're not worried about that, and you're allowed to put the cold water in the sun to warm up. Continues the Gemara. Misha Noshru V'chulu. We're talking about that if a person's clothes got wet, they fell into the water, he's allowed to wear them. But when he gets to the city, he should find the first courtyard that's protected place, remove the clothes, but make sure no one's watching. Which means if people are watching, it's also to spread out the clothes. If no one is watching, you can do it. And this seems to contradict the rule that we know that anything you're not allowed to do in public, you're also not allowed to do in private. So what does it mean? Spread out the clothes, but not if anyone's watching. The Gemara is going to deal with that. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, Kol Mokim She'osru Chachomim Mipnei Maris Ayin. Whenever the Chachomim were afraid that people will see you and suspect you of doing a malocha, namely washing the clothes, Afilu Bechedri Chadorim Osa, you're not even allowed to do it when no one is watching you, even in behind closed doors. Tnan Shoitchon Bechamo Avoloi Keneged Om. And this seems to be what Rav said, is arguing with our Mishnah that says you're allowed to spread out the clothes, but make sure nobody sees you. Says the Gemara Tanoihi. It's actually a Machloikas Tanoim. The Tanya, Shoitchon Bechamo Avoloi Keneged Om. The Tanakamas say that, like it says in our Mishnah, you can spread them out if nobody is seeing. If people are seeing, you should not do it. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, Oisrim, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, who are conforming with the rule that Rav said that anything that you're not allowed to do in public, you're not allowed to do in private either. They say you're not allowed to spread out these wet clothes. People will suspect you of having washed them on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Mirat Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.